Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
I am Stanford Simon. Thank you for joining me today for Inside Finance. Today I want to share with you a press conference that was held by the Honorable Prime Minister Dr. Keith Mitchell, followed by the new appointed Governor of the Central Bank, Mr. Timothy Antwine. The Honorable Prime Minister Dr. Keith Mitchell addressed the issue of the Comahon Park on Grandin's Beach and what his government position on this matter. Here is the Honorable Dr. Keith Mitchell as he speak on government position on the Comahon Park.
I just want to address briefly the issue of Comahon Park, and you may have additional questions. And I before I say this, I just want to point out to me, and Twine already it had indicated to me a short while ago that he was planning to meet you later this morning. But since you already here, he said he'd prefer to do it immediately after this. So he will come in and then you could ask him all the nice questions, all the questions that you wish to ask. First of all, sisters and brothers, I don't understand. I'm at loss to find out what all the hoopla about Comahon Park is about. And I say this in the context that the government has made no decision with respect to Comahon Park. You would recall that on the budget of 2016, which I presented at the end of November last year, that I took time out to inform the nation as to what was being advanced as possibilities for Comahon Park and for further development in the country, in the context I was talking about development in the country as a whole. I did not, and that was unusual, to talk about an issue of this nature and a budget, but I felt it was of national consequences enough to mention it. And I did promise the nation that there will be no decision on the movement of the present park unless we are satisfied that the proposal presented by the possible developers meet the support of the government and people of Grenada, Carriacou, and P.D. Martini. That was a commitment I made. And I explained we are all for development, but not at the expense of the interests of the people of the country. That's been my history. My history is quite clear on this matter. And therefore, I also made the point that not only we have to be satisfied that there is always available a specific serious facilities for the people of the country as it relates to the beach and recreation in that area, but we have to be satisfied that any new plans would have to be an upgraded aspect of this. In other words, there must be more facilities, more access, and better services in that particular area. And I made the point at the social partners meeting, because I was asked about that 2 months before. And certain persons I see on TV today were sitting there In fact, one of them asked the question. And I said to them, just what I have said to you. And I said to them further, you should know politically that I am not foolish. And I'm not a person who would give my opponent political weapon to knock me. So any decision I make would have to be in the context of what is satisfactory and accepted by the people. So rest assured, the social partners would be involved, our country would be involved, the government of the day would be involved after we receive the proposal from the developers. What I could not do, and which Keith Mitchell is known to always be consistent on, is to tell lies. I don't tell lies, I'm telling lies. So if I'm asked by anyone whether we were considering some an activity, a modernization or improvement or some movement or some modification, for me to say, no, we're not considering, I'll be a liar. And I don't like telling lies. And this is as far as I went. So I reaffirm that position and say to those persons that you ought not to be worried. Now let me make my political point on this. I am convinced that many persons who are expressing concern about the park are genuine about their concern. Because maybe we are not as clear in our in every statement that we have made, and every minister or whoever and myself have made in reinforcing and reaffirming our position. And maybe words may be misplaced by some of us, including me. But the intention is what you have to take. So for those who are genuinely concerned, they ought not to worry. Minister Steele will make a point on this when I'm finished, because he's involved and will be involved in the going forward. But I'm convinced also, as you know, there are some of us who are interested in politics, 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 politics. And I have no problem with that, because I understand the coming period will become more and more of this. You'll see more and more of this. I just don't want innocent people to be taken up or used by those who have seriously just a political agenda, nothing else. And just to remind you, some of the persons that you're talking today are the same ones who did not want to see the cruise ship terminal. Grand Anse was going to be destroyed. We'd lose Grand Anse. Some of the same ones, because I've not seen this, everybody doing the same thing. I'm being careful in my words. Some people are the ones making noise about the lagoon, Port Louis. I remember when the environment was going to be destroyed. I remember also when millions of dollars were being spent to clean up the lagoon, we were dumping everything at the lagoon. Human waste, trash that was supposed to go to Perseverance was shortcutted to the lagoon. All old cars, everything, when they were cleaning up, they found it. Fishes were afraid of the lagoon. No fish went there. The lagoon is cleaned up. And you see guys all over the place, little snappers, little all kinds of the couvallis that I love. You see them there now. But the environmentalists, so-called environmentalists, some of them are claiming to be so concerned about the people, who are only concerned about politics. In other words, nothing Keith Mitchell and the New National Party attempts for development is going to get the support of certain persons in this country. In fact, some who might even claim to be associated with the labor movement and should be interested in jobs, jobs, jobs. Every project to bring jobs, they're opposing it for some reason or the other. I find it strange. Seems to me, if I was a labor man, every time I hear a job, I'm running for it. So, colleagues, I think I've spoken enough. I want to thank you, as I said, and ask Minister Steele to just make some additional comments that you may wish to make, since he's involved working closely with the developers and looking at the way forward.
Thank you, Mr. Prime Minister. Good morning to you all. The decision we've made as to a way forward is that we would appoint a committee of stakeholders, and we would like to be quite particular and to say for sure that we want to have on that committee some of those who have been most outspoken about Camahon Park, to make sure that all interests are served. Names have been recommended, and we will be seeking through the social partners and other stakeholders additional names for consideration. Of the names that have been recommended so far, I've been able to speak to one of them and get a positive response from that individual. And that individual is Mr. Finsley St. Louis. And you will see over the last couple of days, and I think some of the programs that will be aired tonight, etc., that he has been quite outspoken on it. So we want to make sure that people's interests, the stakeholders, all the stakeholders are served. The mandate of that committee will be to look at how our Grenadian people use the current Camahon Park, and can that be improved? Can that be improved in the existing location, or can that be improved with an adjustment of location or so? Mm-hmm. And that is the main focus of this. Ideally, we would like to be able to please all individuals, the investor and the Grenadian people. But the principle, first and foremost, is how the Grenadian people interact with Camahon Park, and is there a possibility of improving that? And therefore, to assemble a team of individuals who have been critical of government policies, not just this government policy, but government policies in the past that may affect our heritage, our national parks, etc. And therefore, they are genuine on the issues, and have them participate in this process, interacting with architects, planners, and the investor to see if there is a way forward for improvement. That is the main impetus of this.
All right, colleagues, yes.
Siobhan, happy to
hear. Same to you.
I have a few questions. Dr. Mitchell, as it relates to Camahon Park, right? I know when you mentioned it, you would have heard the noise up there in the market. And persons are relatively concerned about the fact that it is even being considered, that proposal that is being put on the table in the name of development. Camahon Park, according to the president of the Willie Reddet Foundation, is a heritage site for Grenada. The question I'm hearing out there is, how can you even consider moving a heritage site? One. The OAS report from 1997, that's a study, it recommends no further development. Hotel construction, as a matter of fact, on Grandin's Beach. I read it. Are we ignoring that study? Minister Steele, back in 2013, I personally interviewed you. That was on Monday, 2nd September, about when Camahon Park, the debate came up. Your words to me was, investors could look at spots on Grandin's Beach, but definitely not Camahon Park. Why not a change of heart?
Like I said, the impetus is to find an improvement if there is such a possibility. Now, for instance, you refer to an OAS report of development on Grandin's Beach. There have been studies in the past that have recommended certain things that are now no longer suitable because of progress, development, etc. For instance, it was recommended that we have a sewage system. But now we should be considering, as a reasonable government, what we're doing with our sewage. But that was probably recommended by an equally acceptable international organization or so. Mm-hmm. So an OAS report saying something in the 1990s with respect to development in Grenada could not have contemplated technology, improvement, advancement, etc., and the ability of people to go against such a report in the future because the times have changed and the priorities may have changed, and also most importantly, with an added and additional focus onto the environment, that there is a possibility for further development in Grand Anse Beach, on Grand Anse Beach, while still protecting what that OAS report sought to do, which was the environment of Grand Anse Beach.
So, Chairman, as someone who has been a consultant for international organizations, we have recommended results or decisions at one time, but 5 years later, we have had to adjust. So there's nothing sacrosanct about an advice, as you know, in life. And nothing tells us, because someone or small group says that something should not be done, that means it cannot be questioned or looked at. So we have not taken a decision to do anything. But what I'm hearing, and I think it's a bit, it doesn't make sense, not logical, that we shouldn't even be considering. Oh, my God, no, no. As long as I'm alive, I would have to reconsider a decision I made 10 years ago, 15 years ago. You've heard me sometimes saying a decision I made 10 years ago, that I was wrong. Because new information, technology, as Minister Steele said, have brought forth additional approach. How 15 years ago, it was said that it was not economical to attempt to get oil in the United States in certain quarters. Because of technology, it has become much cheaper to get oil in the same place that we're being told 15 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 7 years ago, that it cannot be had. So I don't think we should be saying, honestly, we should be saying, because someone said this and someone said that, we should not even be considering. No, I don't think you meant that.
I'm not in the argument, sir.
No, you were saying.
And I'm saying it as it was said to me.
No, when you came out, if you listen to yourself, go back and listen to your tape.
Uh-huh.
You sounded as if Chevron Benjamin, and even if you didn't, uh-huh, I am referring to even the ones that you, whose information that you're bringing forward. So that's
what.
It's
more of the opinion, sir, that even if, what if you make the decision is made, then we decide to move the park. Some are of the decision that it might be a political suicide.
I don't think you heard what Minister Steele said.
Yes,
he said he would be involved in some of the same elements that who are critical. I will give you an example. Over the weekend, a certain individual whom I will not name, who I would say violently opposed, and honestly so, came to me. And when I sat with him, and I said, look at this. By the time the person left, I didn't see they necessarily accept any change, but they understood what the government was saying. So they're no longer violently opposed to the discussion.
One call does it all. All your basic construction needs, backhoe, compressor, bobcat, and acroprop services. Make one call. One call does it all. 443-2894 or 409-1533. For bobcat, backhoe, compressor, or acroprop services, call One Call Construction Services. 443-2894 or 409-1533. Make it one call.
Permanent Secretary, our new Governor of the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank. We welcome him, we congratulate him, and he will take off with PM Defta.
Thank you very much, Madam Press Secretary, and good morning to all of our media representatives and to all of our listeners and viewers, home and abroad. Good morning to you. I did hear from my Head of Corporate Communications that some of you were looking for me. I had indicated to her last night that I would propose a media availability session at 11. But when I heard this morning that the Prime Minister would be having a short press conference, I thought it, and I knew he also has his cabinet, I thought it would be efficient for yourselves and myself if I just came in at the end of his press conference. So I want to thank you for working with us in that regard. Last Friday, I received a call from the chairman of the Monetary Council, the Honorable Victor Banks, Chief Minister of Anguilla, advising me of the Council's decision to appoint me as the next governor of the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank. I thanked him for the confidence reposed in me by the members of the Monetary Council. Only yesterday, I was speaking to a professor of mine from the University of the West Indies. I called him to thank him for his role in shaping me professionally. And he said to me, you know, I had at least 4 students in the field. So I laughed and I said, you could not lose. He said, I could not lose, but I'm very glad that you have been appointed. I think it's the right choice. But he also went on to say that he was proud of the fact that the ECCU OECS could put forward such a strong field of candidates for the position of governor. And I'm grateful that I have been asked to assume the leadership of the bank at this particular time. I want to express my profound gratitude to Sir Dwight Venner for his colossal contribution, not just to the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank over his 26 years as governor, a record which I do not believe will ever be broken, but his yeoman service, his noble service, his profound love, passion for the people of our region, which has driven him over all these years. I have benefited from the leadership of Sir Dwight. I have, in a manner of speaking, sat at his feet as a financial secretary, as a member of the board, and I've learned much from him. And so I'm indebted to him for not just his contribution to the region, first and foremost, but also for his contribution to my own personal and professional development. So I want to thank Sir Dwight for that and to extend my very best wishes to him in his well-deserved retirement. I must tell you that the last 72 hours have been incredible, for want of a better word. I could not imagine the outpouring of support that I have received since this announcement. Literally hundreds of calls, emails, texts have come in, and I'm not counting Facebook because I'm not yet on Facebook. I have heard of the Facebook messages, but I have not seen them. But suffice it to say, Grenadians, I've heard from Grenadians, all walks of life. And that has been deeply humbling and at the same time inspiring. And I will confess to you, on a few occasions in the last 72 hours, I've gotten a little emotional. That's between two of us, or between us. It's been very, very touching, very, very touching. Clearly, people feel elated that a son of the soil has been selected to lead this very important institution. And I want to say that as a born and bred Grenadian, homegrown, I take great pride in the fact that this country birthed me and that shaped me and made me who I am today. My parents, my dad and mom, and of course, my mom taught me. She also is my pastor, so she's a very special person. I am deeply, deeply grateful to her and my family, all of my family, my many siblings, my church family, my teachers, my colleagues across the public service, but especially in the Ministry of Finance, the Prime Minister, who almost 20 years ago saw something in me and asked me to step up and to take additional responsibilities. I am not sure exactly what he saw, but he saw something. And I'm grateful to God that I have been able to validate that confidence and trust over the years. But Grenada, I am one of you. I am yours. You shaped me. And therefore, I feel eternally grateful to this country, the land of my birth, for the upbringing that I've had, and of course, for the outpouring of support that I've received since the announcement of the decision. So those are my initial comments. There are many, many people to thank. It is not for me to attempt to do that now, But suffice to say, from the very bottom of my heart, I do thank everyone, everyone. I do have a special place for my colleagues in the Ministry of Finance. I've been there for the last, 22 years, and they're very special people to me. The bonds of friendship, the bonds of love that we have for each other, having worked together for so long and having gone through adversity together and been in the trenches, so to speak, those are deep and strong and cannot be broken. So I do have a special place in my heart for the colleagues at the Ministry of Finance. But my dear wife has been a true rock, and she is the glue that holds our family unit together. So to my dear wife, Charmaine, I do really wish to again express publicly, I tell her that all the time, but publicly, how much I love her and how much I appreciate the support that she's given me over these many years. It has not been easy working in this environment, traveling regularly, and doing all the things that I expected of the Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance, and the additional responsibility that I've had regionally. But she has been by my side all along through it all, and I thank God for her every day. So on that note, those are my opening remarks. If you have any particular questions, then I'll be happy to try to assist you with those. Thank you.
Congratulations. Really, it's a big moment for you and for Grenada. And I think most of us knew that maybe over the last 15, 20 years, you were being prepared for this role today. You were being like a heavyweight in a corner with people around, good people around you. We want to know some of the people who would have molded you, given you that confidence, saying that, yes, Timmy, you've got it, you can go all the way, and we are going to bring you until this day has arrived. Yeah, tell us about some of the people who have done that. And also, Timmy, we've seen the OECS over the last 10, 15 years also. We've seen a couple countries sometimes, Grenada, for example, 3.5% last year, and this year, 2% last year. We have not seen that continuous growth throughout the region. It's kind of early, but what kind of policies can maybe you think from the top that can spur economic growth and development, whereby we see not Grenada or Dominica or St. Vincent, but the whole region moving together in unison, you know, getting stronger and more economically viable. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you, Trevor. Thank you for your kind words. And I start with a heavyweight comment. As a former light heavyweight champion.
You welter.
Oh, you are welter?
You are welter now.
I am welter now.
Trevor,
as you know, was a national champion in boxing. He, of course, represented Grenada at cricket as well. When I was in primary school, I recall with fondness, Trevor, your boxing exploits. And I would attempt to box. And when I was boxing, I was thinking about Trevor. And very much. And then, of course, there was Bunny later on. But so, Trevor, thanks very much. You inspired me as a primary school student, whether you knew that or not, when you were in your boxing days. There are a lot of people, and it's going to be, exceptionally difficult for me to try to single out. Clearly, my parents, both, they taught me the values very early. My mom and dad, both are now retired public servants. So, Algernon and Twine, Ursula and Twine, they are the custodians, the ones who set me on the right path, not just in terms of my, spiritually first of all, in terms of values, but also in terms of education. So I learned very early love for God, love for learning, and love for people. Those are three things they taught me from early.
You have been listening to a special press conference by the Right Honorable Dr. Keith Mitchell, Prime Minister of Grenada, Carriacou, and P.D. Martini, followed by the newly appointed Governor of the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank, Mr. Timothy Antwine. This has been a special presentation, Inside Finance. I am Tanford Simon. Wish you a very blessed and enjoyable week. Go to the website, sgbcgrenada.com. The program is uploaded there. Have a blessed and enjoyable week. Thank you for listening.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.